And we now know that COVID-19 is disproportionately impacting Black Americans who are getting sick and dying at higher rates than other populations. Scholars have been thinking about how survival elements used in the past, like the creation of new forms of music and art, can serve as a form of comfort and healing. This concept is often called Afrofuturism, and it's more than science fiction. For more, we have Alondra Nelson from Princeton University. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So back in the 1990s, cultural critic Mark Deary coined this term Afrofuturism after listening to conversations led by you and others. And over the years, it's kind of been described as this way of being that Black people can kind of take back the trauma of the past by reimagining it, while also reimagining or imagining our futures and building those futures. How do you define it, especially right now in the time of this pandemic?
I think right now, you know, Afrofuturism as a kind of form of ingenuity across Black history is an important reminder for us that there have been times when innovation and ingenuity were really required in life, that there were times, other times when people really struck out and thought anew about what the future should be and might be. And so, as you know, so many are talking about reopenings and reimaginings of what the social space might be, it's a pretty important kind of intellectual and creative genealogy to look back to and to look forward with.
And some of those moments of ingenuity as a means for survival were through the arts. So we're talking jazz, gospel music, dance. And, you know, there's been this resurgence of the study and imagination of Afrofuturism over the last few years. A good example of this is the movie Black Panther, which imagined a world like Wakanda where white supremacy doesn't exist. What are some examples in science or music that exemplifies this idea?
Yes, there's so much to say there. I mean, I think if we think of the, you know, an Afrofuturist tradition that comes out of the space of music, there are lots of examples from jazz, but also from other, you know, from pop music and from R&B, in which, you know, people were really being quite innovative with form and actually, in some instances, being accused of using technology in the wrong way. So two examples that come to mind are the Jamaican dub producer Lee Scratch Perry, and also probably more widely known to your listeners would be George Clinton, who who we know from
Funkadelic,
Parliament and Funkadelic, yes. And, you know, he tells a story in interviews and conversation about having at one time, you know, on some occasions been in a recording studio in which he was asking the engineers to sort of do things with different frequencies and lower frequencies of music. And, you know, basically being told you're doing it wrong. And then sort of saying, you know, get out of here, I'll figure it out myself, and kind of going to the dials and going to the table. And so, you know, the doing it wrong actually kind of has led, you know, led to profound kind of innovation in the creation of funk music and the extension of African Americans' contributions to rock and roll, which comes out of Black culture significantly.
Yeah, you know, some scholars have argued that this moment in time, this pandemic, is kind of like a portal that's ushering us into a new world. And there is this possibility of creating new and better ways of being with each other, as well as the creation of new arts. That, to me, is a very Afrofuturist sensibility. Are you seeing this?
Well, I think certainly in the realm of imagination and symbolic space, you're seeing the portal metaphor played out. There's already a great deal of, you know, new music and new art being born out of this moment all over the world as people try to reckon with it and make sense of it. There's an interesting hip-hop artist from the UK called Sykes, P-S-Y-C-H-S, which I think very early on in the pandemic, you know, does a video, with his posse and is, you know, they're wearing masks and they're wearing gloves and they're navigating on how to engage with each other in public space and not make, you know, not shake hands and do other things. And so, you know, there's the music itself and then there's the video of the work, which is, you know, people, you know, kind of figuring out a new way to be together when we are living in a world with, you know, a virus.
You know, thinking about the moment that we're in right now and the role that Afrofuturism might have in creating a post-pandemic society, what are your thoughts, your parting words?
I think, you know, it's important to remember that the Afrofuturist tradition in arts and letters and music is really writing with and up against the possibility of Black annihilation, you know, the sort of possibility that the world could end, but that there were always sort of spaces of possibility. And so I would want us to remember that the most marginalized and the most vulnerable communities, time and time again, over generations, over hundreds of years, have created beauty and resilience and life again and again. And so, you know, that's a gift that Black culture has brought to the world again and again that I think certainly should be appreciated and embraced in this moment, and done in such a way that people, many people who are the essential workers who are African Americans, should not be left to suffer.
Alondra Nelson, professor in the School of Social Science at the Institute for Advanced Study at Princeton University. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you, Tanya.